Soon as we got back the next day, I was in the dentist chair for part two of a root canal, so good times. As I was sitting in the dentist chair, I had to kind of chuckle because she was like, wow, your tongue and mouth muscles are extremely strong. I was like, yes, I know I talk a little bit too much. That's life. So it was good to share some of what I do with the dentist as I was sitting in their chair, and just know that even they need Jesus too, right? Even though they're picking apart your teeth. We're super excited this week to have Camp Nachman here, and Howard and Lois Gitzel have come to join us, and they're going to share something with us. I think it's so cool to have a facility like Camp Nachman so close by, and to make it a part of kind of our family journey as we cruise through life together. I'm just going to pray quickly for you, Howard, and just pray for Holy Spirit to anoint your words today. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather together and lift you up, Lord. And today we bring Howard to you as he comes and presents a message from Camp Nachman for us. And we just pray that your words would anoint his lips, Jesus. And we pray that in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you. I was noticing as the kids were up here, the one right in front of us launching himself off of the stage here, and, you know, why use steps? Whereas you saw me go up steps, I'm kind of at a new stage. Here. Maybe just a little bit of history as I realized that I got a call from Brad, Pastor Brad, and to speak here. It goes back a long ways. I can identify both my wife and I at the beginnings of this church, even with Harvey and Becky Michalis. And of course, Richard and then there's this name recall. Virginia, yes, going way back. But the interesting thing is that my wife and I went to college with Brad's mom and dad. And in fact, his mom was Lois's maid of honor at our wedding. And my recollection of Virgil, Brad's dad, is that he was kind of a rowdy character when we were going to Bible college. I settled down at that time. I was a bit older and was serious, and he enjoyed life then more than I did. Somehow that might be carrying through his son. I don't know. But we did enjoy visiting as our families began, and so we do remember Brad and his family and when he was just a little guy. Not too much later on, right? I don't know when's the last time we saw your family. Anyways, it's a privilege to be here. And really what I want to talk about this morning, it certainly is mostly about camp, but really value and how that we place value on different things. And generally, when we come to the monetary part of things, we look and say, I want something I can invest in. And I want to know that I'm getting a good deal and there's great value there. And this morning, if there's two things I get across, it's first of all the value of children and then the value of camp ministry and how it fits in. The focus on children today. I did a little bit of a Googling thing before just last night and this morning and looked and seeing what is happening with children around the world today. And it's pretty sad. Pretty sad and all the different things that popped up in relation to the challenge in the world today in relation to children. And what I want to look at initially here is a passage from Matthew 18. And I'll read two sections here. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's really encouraging words. but it's Jesus' words. And then we carry on to chapter 19 and verse 13 and 14. "Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went from them," and from there. In my old age, my vision is not the greatest. So anyways, reading fine print, yeah, that's the way it goes. But anyways, Jesus is here, and he's talking about children. And I always like to place myself into the place of the disciples. Do you ever do that? If you lived back then, who would you be? I like to think that I would have been one of those that immediately attaches to Jesus, and I understand everything, and I would be a great follower of his. But I don't know if that would be true. And it's always interesting to look at the disciples who were the closest. And what I find interesting in this passage is that Jesus had just talked to them about looking at this whole issue, that really, if we want to be in the kingdom of heaven, we have to be humble and in a similar thought process like a five-year-old, in the sense of our submission to God and our faith and our believing God. And then a little while later, the disciples want to shoo away the children. So, you know, I always think about how that, as you follow their lives with Jesus, boy, these guys were awful confused a lot of times, right? And then until the Holy Spirit finally came and set things in place. And I would have probably been much worse in that whole thing than how they function. I just know that I'm very blessed. And part of the thing in my life, and I think all of us look, especially at this time of the year, in Remembrance Day and how blessed we are in this country. And when it comes to camp ministry, I'm very blessed. My family has been very blessed. In fact, I grew up with my mom cooking at a family camp at Whitewood Beach Bible Camp. Anybody ever heard of that? And it was close to Lake Wabman on a little lake. And eventually, right when I was kind of in my early teens, Camp Nachman had already been started and going and connecting with the Alliance. And this camp was owned by the Stony Plain Alliance Church and another church from Edmonton. And it wasn't very big, and a few little cabins and that kind of thing. The chapel had sawdust on the floor. You'd cough and choke and in the meetings and stuff like that. But I was only 4 or 5 years old and one of those little kids running around behind the kitchen, getting into trouble and that kind of thing. So camp goes way back for me. And as life carried on, certainly I learned to love camp as a camper, and then later on in becoming a counselor. When I became a counselor, it was my first opportunity to know what it was like to lead a child to the Lord. And then carrying on, my wife and I, again, going to college with Brad's parents, we just kept on attaching ourselves to camp. And at that time, it was Camp Nakaman. I think we spend 2 summers while we were going to college. We got married in there sometime too. And just loved camp. And as we were looking at graduating from Bible college, a position came up. The first position at Camp Nakaman to be hired full-time, and basically the only person hired, along with my wife, and overseeing everything, the program and all those kind of things. And we had a crew from the camp board, Camp Nakaman, fly down to Calgary to interview us. And we ended up getting the job. And so 1978, we packed up our few belongings in my brother's pickup truck and drove straight from going to college and Berean Bible College in Calgary to Camp Nakaman and settled in there. So our lives have centered around camp ministry. And somehow, I think we all know that God works in our lives and leads us, I trust, into the areas that he wants us to minister in. And so we started out there. And the interesting thing is we've come and gone now in official capacity, I think, 3-4 times. And in between, we were always involved. I was assistant pastor at Stony Plain Alliance for 11 years. And during that time, I was involved on the board. And as well, the days when we volunteered directing camps and that kind of thing. So it seriously has affected my family. And when I think about our children, I think if you talk to every one of them, because of our strong connection in relation to camp, it had a huge impact on their lives as well in many different ways as campers and also serving there. At Camp Nakaman, we've been working through kind of the reality that times have changed and you constantly have to kind of retool. And what we found is that we had a mission statement, basically that was to give us our purpose and what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how God was in it all. And it was too long. We were supposed to all know it and recite it right away if somebody asked us. And no board member or none of us working there could kind of rattle it off. And so we spent time not only looking at that, as in the sense of our mission, but also where are we at as a camp? Where do we want to go in the future? And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit led us in establishing a very short, actually 3 statements. Encountering God, enriching relationships, and experiencing creation. That God wants us to help people in these 3 areas. And as we continued with this mission statement, and this is now, I think, already 5 years ago, it's amazing how well that fits to everything we do. And as we plan things, first of all is encountering God and having the message of the gospel being priority. And then looking and saying it's all about relationships. It's not about buildings. It's not about facilities and those kind of things. And the reality is that these kind of things work very well in the country, in creation, where you can look and sense the glory of God being demonstrated in all that is around you. So we established these mission priorities, and hopefully now you see it on almost everything that we produce in literature and that kind of thing. And again, our priority is the gospel, the message of God's love, and that it'll come across in every possible way. One thing that I need to say is that when Camp Nakaman started, and that's mostly my focus here, next year it'll be 70 years since it officially was connecting with the Western Canadian District of the Alliance. It wasn't owned by them then, but there was this official connection. And I think it was maybe the 3rd year as they established official summer camp. So as this took place, there's a progression. that just kept on happening. But the initial emphasis was on children's camp. And I trust that now if you ask any of our staff and any of our board members what's happening at Camp Nachman, well, we run year-round with all kinds of things happening, but they will still say our highest priority is the summer camps. Summer camps for kids, and certainly we have family camps and all those kind of things. But that is the priority that was the priority back then, and we want it to continue in that way. And that's why kids, children, are so important. So some ask the question, okay, I'm coming here, and I want you to keep the word partnership in mind, because that's what I'm hoping for. Actually, I have a new job as of April. I'm called a camp ambassador. I didn't necessarily want that title because that's where I imagine that outside my office there would be flags and guards and a limousine to take me around. Well, that's not happening. But anyways, I was the executive director for the last 10 years and now camp ambassador. And my job basically is to be able to get out to the public, get out to our Alliance churches especially, and be able to develop what we believe has to be there for us to be successful in the ministry, and that's a partnership. And the interesting thing is the Alliance denomination in Edmonton area and all over Alberta has grown so much in so many different churches. Really what I'm starting out with in this new job is what I'm calling an awareness campaign. I'm running into all kinds of people that never heard of our camp. And then beyond that, never realized that we have the connection, that we are owned and operated under the authority of the Western Canadian District of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So that's part of why I'm here. I know that this church has been connected very strongly all through the years, so thank you for that. But there is a question. Why camp ministry? There's so many different things happening and so many different missions and that kind of thing. And the person standing before you is passionate about camp and camp ministry. And if you want to get into an argument of why it's important, boy, I can argue. But I don't want to do that. and I don't think we have to do that. The interesting thing is that I do have some brochures out there in relation to a campaign that we're moving into. Of course, it involves money, but if you read through that, I don't want you to focus on us raising funds, but read through it and see all the things we put that are unique about camp ministry and how that can be a benefit or in a partnership, how that we really accent what you in your church are already doing with children and young people. Really, camp, how I've seen it over the years, and now if I add everything up, it's got to be over 50 years, that camp ministry, God raised up camp ministry to be a harvest field. That's where a lot of work has already been done by the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And there's a few unique things about camp ministry that kind of capsulize what the Holy Spirit has been doing in a child's life or an adult life, a youth life. And it's got these unique ingredients where decisions are made. I don't know if I asked a show of hands how many here would have been identifying with some sort of major decision connected with camp. Maybe I should ask. Any of you here? There's a few of you. And just a couple of things to focus on in relation to this. One of the things that probably the main thing is time. How many would agree with me that we're living in a world that really is very fast-paced? I think you would. And as you even look at this coming week with your kids and everything else, we just keep going full tilt. And what happens is the time to be able to process, focus and process, and then say what's the outcome in that, sometimes is very difficult. Because before we can get very far in what we're thinking through, the next thing has come along. And what happens in the camp environment, and this would apply to retreats too, is it's time away, a time to process, and a time where many decisions are made on a spiritual level. I had a comment, actually, I've stated this before, but I had somebody else tell me, just, we were at prayer retreat too, really enjoyed it. And the other person that I was talking to about camp says, you know, I realize that, and their ministry in the church, that when a child goes to camp for a week, 24 hours a day, he made this statement. He says, I think that that child has more input in that week than the whole year in the ministry we have. And the ministry in the church is amazing, and I'm sure you love your kids, and there's amazing stuff happening in your program. But that's the thing that we see in camp ministry. Over and over again, it's an expectation at this point in time that when kids come, and we have between 180 to 200 a week now coming to Camp Nachiman, coming in the beginning on Sunday, settling in, getting into their cabin, getting to know their counselor, getting to know the other kids and this kind of thing. And pretty much guaranteed by the time that we hit Tuesday night and into Wednesday, there's an atmosphere that is developed that the Holy Spirit is there. You can sense that. And in the process, generally what's happening with these kids is it starts out, we have speakers and the counselors that are trained this kind of thing. They're starting out with a message of who God is and who I am. And that relationship and how that progresses. And one of the things we emphasize at Nachiman is it's a message of love. It's a message of the most amazing love that we can ever experience in our relationship with Christ. And we see then by the time that we hit Wednesday and Thursday night at Nachiman is the last night. And it's just a powerful time where so many kids, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, are making some sort of a decision in their spiritual walk with the Lord. In fact, from our statistics at Camp Nachiman, we have about one-third of the kids come from an Alliance church. So if you think about between 180 to 200 kids a week, and then another third come from some other church background. And that's including Catholic or whatever it may be. And another third are unchurched kids. So many of these come, like we have year-round ministry, and we have schools that come in the middle of the week, school bands, all this kind of stuff. And some people, we've had the question, why are you doing all that stuff? How does that do with ministry? We have many of those kids. They see the camp. Parents, supervisors come and say, wow, this looks like a great place to send our kids. And so we get all these unchurched kids coming. And the results, I don't like to look at this that terribly much, but you can't ignore it in relation to camp ministry. 2016 and 17, what we've compiled to this point in time, I should back up a little bit. Our counselors are instructed when they're working with the kids and this whole spiritual level of connecting with the kids to identify those who come that seem to know almost nothing. And the desire is that by the time they leave, hopefully they've made a decision to follow Jesus, but many of them aren't at that stage yet. But if there was a significant step in them seeing that this child knew nothing about spiritual things in God, and now they're quite excited about it, and then there's the next level, and that's the ones that come and identify that they're already a follower of Jesus, and that they have significantly grown in their life and been challenged in their life during that week. And then there are those who clearly made a decision for the first time to follow Jesus. Over the last 2 years, out of generally, the last 2 years, the number of campers, when it comes to kids and youth, we have had over 1,600 campers. Within that, the recorded decisions overall, over the last 2 years, 1,400 decisions. Within that, there's over 300 that have made decisions to follow Jesus for the first time. And those, you know, when we track those kind of statistics, and we know that it's not real hard line, but at the same time, we're very careful that they identify things in this way. And I was kind of surprised at the last district conference that we had with the Alliance. We actually get all these graphs showing all the churches. And I think as far as churches and congregations, we now have close to 140 in Alberta. Does that sound familiar to you? Anyways, I studied through this whole thing. And then there was a graph, the chart that showed baptisms and conversions. And when I put the numbers together, out of 140 churches, Camp Ministry, and that's Camp Nakaman, Camp Bellevue in the Lakeland region, and Camisole in Calgary, all Alliance camps, it was somewhere between 9 to 12% of the conversions in a year in relation to all the churches. So I kind of look at that, and I'm maybe a bit prejudiced towards this thing, but that's where I say we can't take camp ministry lightly in relation to churches, and I'm challenging churches in that way, that we need to be partners in this way. In fact, there was over 100 decisions at Camp Nakaman alone that were recorded this year. So we've got all these different things happening in camp ministry. And again, our main goal is reaching kids for Christ. And we've got this campaign going now where we actually are running at capacity, in fact, over capacity. And so we're looking at new development. One of the things that over my long term in being part of camp ministry, and probably almost a greater passion than seeing the young kids come to camp, and that's teenagers growing in responsibility and leadership. We have an amazing program and training and everything else. Our accountability level is very high in our staff. And we have shifted over. It's kind of a bit of an evolution that has taken place where it used to be all volunteer, and now all of our senior staff actually are in kind of a pay scale. But it's not about money. It's about looking at quality leaders that are attending Bible college or university or whatever it is and realizing that they can't come year after year. And some of the strongest things in relation to good ministry at camp is consistency and having young people come back. And that's been happening over and over again. So in relation to this leadership development, classic example is a young couple. Both came from non-Christian homes, came as campers, and then progressed, accepted the Lord. We have a junior worker program. Excuse me. We have a junior worker program that is absolutely amazing. And what they do is the work. And they have a program, and they're learning and growing in discipleship times and that kind of thing. And so this couple, Kim and Curtis, they went through the whole thing. They were counselors. And how long ago is it now? 4, 5 years ago? We had their wedding at camp. And they have been coming back now for the last 4 years doing the hardest job that I believe there is in camp ministry. You know what that is? working with the junior workers. These are 13, 14, 15-year-olds that come. We've got the right environment, exciting place, and all their peers there. I like to joke about how these young boys sometimes have ulterior motives in relation to the young girls that come. But we always have a very large crew. And they come and they work. And we often get the comment from parents, especially with boys, where talk about household chores. They are doing the dishes. They are mopping the floors. They are cleaning the washrooms. They are cleaning the toilets, all these different things. And parents say, how on earth did you get my boy to touch any of that stuff? And this is, I guess, a bit of my presentation or argument at why camp is so unique. The ingredients are there that young people love. They love to be with their peers. They love to have fun. They love just a whole lot of different things that are happening at camp. And then for this group, in order for them to be there, they have to be committed to work and be discipled. And I like to use this example. I don't know how my time is going here, but I think I'm okay. Didn't you tell me an hour or so? No. Anyways, a few years back, what happens is this couple, Curtis and Kim again, they'll have almost a new crew every week of these. We don't have them there all summer. And so they have to come early. They get oriented. And so then they're already starting to work by the time the first meal happens at supper time. And one year, since they have to come early, they're kind of coming in with their baggage and everything. And there was a couple of girls that had come, and these are, say, about 14 years old, and they had already kind of put their luggage away, and they were in our lobby, and two more girls came in. And one was quite a good-looking one in almost every way, like hair done just right, clothing the latest, and all these kind of things. And so I happened to be there to give them some direction. And this one, I shouldn't say that she was blonde, but she was. she marches right up to me and says, "You see those two girls over there by the fireplace? I'm not going to be in a cabin with them. Don't put me in a cabin with them." Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't get along with that one girl at all. And I said, "Well, that's interesting." I said, "You know, that's not the way we operate here. And do you know what? If you can't go in the same cabin with those girls, well, you know what? You can go home." Well, you should have seen the look on this girl's face. And I kind of anticipated that she had a lot of control in her life, including maybe at home and manipulating and all those kind of things. And she didn't know what to say. And she kind of backed away with a funny look on her face and went off. You know, about 2 hours later, she comes running back to me, says, "You know what? Everything is good now. We're friends again. We can stay in the same cabin." And I use that example in the sense that this is one thing. Like, I worked in church with youth for quite some time and overseeing an amazing youth pastor. He started out under me, Jordy Maxwell. Have you heard of him? Anyways, he's an old guy now. Don't tell him that. But anyways, one of the most difficult things we had in working with young people, apart from the parents wanting to make them perfect and good, I shouldn't say that, but anyways, was accountability. We'd get them excited about things, have fun things happening, all these different things, and want to kind of get them committed into discipleship and those kind of things. And I have to say that there was a lot of good success, but a lot of the situation was not following through. And that's the kind of environment, the unique thing in relation to camp ministry. It's a place where young people want to come. They want to be there. They want to be with their peers. And it is fun. It is exciting. All these different ingredients. And in that, what I've been able to see is just a quality production of the work of God in their lives and working together that comes out of that. And as we went to prayer retreat, I'm looking at people in ministry now that came right through the ranks. One of the ones that we're most proud of and we're one of the first ones to support is Amy Flater. Did you see the presentation at Anchored Warriors? And just totally dedicated to working with Native youth. And she came right through the ranks, all the way from a little camper, all the way through to a major leader in our camp ministry. So hopefully you've got the picture that I love camp. I like to talk about camp. And again, the key thing here is partnership, where we want to be involved with you, and we hope that you are involved with us. And sometimes we talk about money. Forget about the money thing. Any possible way, in the sense of prayer support, just communicating. And I've got some cards out there that if you can put your email address on there, I'll send you my latest newsletter. I'm just starting on those kind of things, and it's hopefully going to happen on a monthly basis. And don't expect that I'm going to do any arm twisting or anything like that. It's just getting the information about what is happening at camp ministry. Any questions? I do have a video that we're going to see now. And the reason I'm showing this is that it actually shows the action on a ranch. In case you don't know, now we talk about having camp ministry on four sites. The main site at Camp Nachman, our ranch site, our outdoor site, that's another 120 acres of lakeshore at camp, and then Bellevue Lodge, which is out by St. Paul. And 4 years ago, the camp was not doing well at all, and we took over the administration and running that camp. But anyways, this is from the ranch. This will show you what happens at the ranch and what has happened this past summer. Thank you. Okay, I wanted to show this video. We have a lot of different ones. And basically what it shows is we made a major step now 2 years ago when we looked at getting crowded out at our main site. And literally we were squeezing kids, especially when it came to the dining hall and that kind of thing. They could hardly move. And we said, how can we get more kids to come? And we had kids on waiting lists and this kind of thing. And for over 20 years, we've been operating our ranch as basically a trail riding place. Not a huge amount of actual development in relation to horsemanship program. In fact, the kids would stay on site, on the main site, have their meals, and spend some camps, maybe only a half a day, and not even that, at the ranch. And so we looked and said, how can we get more kids to come? And then we looked and said, hey, let's develop the ranch program in the way that it should be. And by us, one of our obstacles in relation to the ranch was weather. And you see now we have a riding arena. It's about 90 feet by 200, ample room. If it's raining out or whatever is happening, they can be doing their horsemanship in there. And then instead of the kids staying on site, at the main site, now we have 5 new cabins. We can hold up to 50 campers there. That in turn has given us more room back at the main site. And as it said there, if you saw that, our next step, at this stage we've got those things done, and we do have the funding to be able to do that to this point. And what we're doing is we're feeding the kids. Everything is happening at the ranch now, other than them coming over to do a swim session or something like that. And so our next step, and the details in that plan are just being finalized in relation to a dining hall washroom complex. And I don't know if you saw, there was a part there where we've been, the dining hall has been a tent, a cheap type of tent, and a temporary washroom facility. So that's kind of our next step, and that does wrap up my presentation. Thank you so much for having me here, and I trust that if God is nudging you in one way or another, that you will get involved with us, and we'll certainly welcome that. Thank you very much for having me.